Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hey everyone, Scott Aukerman here, and you are about to hear a very special live episode of Comedy Bang Bang, recorded last month at the Paramount Theater in Austin, Texas. This is one of the 23 shows that we did in August on our 13th anniversary Oh No Tour, and we wanted to give you a little taste of what the tour was like, because if you are into this, every single one of our 23 live episodes, as well as every other live episode, are available at comedybangbangworld.com or cbbworld.com. So you can hear the entire tour, all 23 episodes. You can sign up for a month in our Maximus plan, listen to them all, and then dip out. I don't care. It would hurt my feelings really greatly, and I would be very, very upset, but I don't care. But anyway, enjoy. This is a great episode. I think you're going to enjoy it. This is live from the Paramount Theater in Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas! What a welcome, my gosh. Although, wasn't someone saying boo the entire time? Why is it I only hear that? Austin, Texas, so great to be here in the Paramount Theater! Love it! Love it here. Hear a little feedback. Anyone hearing that? Just a little hum. Oh no, it's just some guy going, hee! Still hearing it. Guys, so wonderful to be here in one of my favorite towns in the United States of A, Austin, Texas. I believe approximately 12 or 13 years or so ago, I started the comedy at South by Southwest here. So this is... It's wonderful to be back. I love this theater. I've seen so many great movies here. And the one with the train going towards the audience scared the fucking shit out of me. Right here. Interesting. Oh, I forgot. Hey, I forgot to do this last night. Here we go. Let's get a catchphrase going. Open that app. Jupiter, Neptune, and Saturn, they give me no glee. Uranus is the only true gas giant for me. Welcome to Comedy Bang Bang. See someone shaking their head right there. Does not approve. Thank you to Call Waiting for Godot for that wonderful catchphrase submission. Catchphrase superstar. We have an exciting show for you tonight. Let me ask by... round of applause, let's do it tonight. Who here has no idea what the fuck this is or why they're here? Enjoy your evening. because of that catchphrase, that's pretty much it. Comedy Bang Bang is, you know, the last time we toured, it was, we were sort of calling it the show where we talk to interesting people. We're not doing that anymore. Interesting people will come out here. We will talk to them. But I found it reductive. I think we were calling it America's Podcast, and then I realized, you know, we're going to Canada and other places, so that was reductive. So I think Humanities Podcast is what it became. Now we're changing it to Humanities Podcast and the Animal Kingdoms Podcast. So, in any case, what you're going to see here is I'm a host. It's sort of like a talk show. I'm a host. We're going to bring some guests out here. We're going to talk to them, and we're going to have interesting conversations. And we have some great guests tonight. Coming up a little bit later, we have a musician. Very exciting. We have an actor. Okay. And I believe we have, well, I don't want to spoil who our first guest will be. We'll get to that in a second. But before we get to that, are you guys ready for the most exciting 2 minutes of your entire fucking lives? Because it's time for what I call the Balcony Report. No. I hear you up in the balconies getting very excited. This is not your time to shine. I'm not here to say hello to you. I'm not here to give you a wave or shout you out at all. The Balcony Report is merely an opportunity for me to relay to the audience how many balconies are in this venue. Thank you. Oh, I know. Hold on to your butts and glasses. Because I am pleased to report that the Paramount Theater in Austin, Texas has 2 balconies! Oh, what a high I'm coming down from that. Oh my God. Woo! Still hearing it, by the way. Maybe it never goes away. Please, please, don't torment me. Well, we have a great show for you tonight. Are you guys ready to get this started? Because I'm ready. Yeah. I'm going to rearrange the microphones here. Okay. Good. Let's get to our first guest. He's in the aviation industry. He is a pilot who famously landed a plane somewhere where it shouldn't have been. Please welcome Chelsea Sully Sullenberger. Chesley.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott.
Chesley is what I meant to say.
What did you say earlier? Chelsea?
Chelsea. I think I said Chelsea.
That's all right.
But you must be used to that.
It's an unusual name, and of course, people have given many different variations on it, the most popular being Chelsea.
What other variations are there? What are the unpopular ones?
One time I got Chingle.
In what situation did that happen? Was it getting coffee or?
Yes, I was getting coffee at the airport, and I gave my name at the counter, of course, Chesley, and I stood there for quite a long time, almost missed a flight, waiting to hear my name called. And then somebody screamed, "Where the hell is Chingle?" And the gentleman behind the counter looked at me and said, "Chingle, come on, man. You're ruining my day."
Ruining his day?
He said I was ruining his day.
Wow. They, you know, you talk about walking through the airport and you know, almost missing your flights. You must be a celebrity in the airports. You must be walking around giving, like,
did you hear my Chingle story?
So this was post... This is post the...
this was post the Miracle on the Hudson.
Miracle on the Hudson.
Which I do not call a miracle. It was training and competency that landed that plane that day and saved all the souls inside.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
How many souls were inside?
You know, I honestly can't remember. It was a full flight.
So a lot of middle seats?
A lot of middle seats. I always feel bad for them. You know, we have a little camera where we can see people get on the plane.
You do? Yes. Like a candy camera? Like a ring
sort
cam?
Of, yeah. Like a ring cam, yeah. We watch the middle seat people and how unhappy they are. And my heart goes out to them, of course. I have the best seat on the plane, I like to say.
Yeah.
Or I did like to say, I'm no longer an active airline pilot. Of course, I've retired.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Why?
When they were going to make the movie Sully starring Tom Hanks, I thought I had a pretty good shot at the role, so I immediately retired. They did let me audition, and you can imagine how humiliating it was that I did not meet the criteria to portray myself on screen.
I have to ask, should I call you Chesley or Sully is what you
Everyone
prefer?
Calls me Sully.
Everyone
That's
calls
fine.
You Sully. Which
Except for my mother.
What does she call you?
Chingle.
That's a tough pill to swallow.
It is. I mean, my mother was a gentle soul. I miss her dearly. I'm assuming she's dead. And you know, to hear a baristo yelling "Chingle, you're ruining everything," you know, that really come into the quick.
What I have to ask, Sully, what did you do for your audition?
I prepared two monologues, a comedic and a dramatic.
Did you do 16 bars of a song?
Yes, I did. I sang "Oh, What a Beautiful Morning" from Bocalo.
Just in case that, you know, maybe it was a musical.
They stopped me singing immediately. I opened with that, and they said that's not necessary. And then I did a monologue from Danny in the Deep Blue Sea, and for my comedic, I did, what did I do? I think it was most of an episode of Newhart.
It's a long monologue.
Yeah, I played all the characters. I mean, it wasn't the entire episode.
Was it the beginning half or the back half?
It was the beginning half. I hummed the theme song as well. I described the various things we were seeing as the theme song played.
What were they? I don't remember. How did that go?
Well, there's, of course, it took place at an inn in Vermont, and you would see, you know, the inn. You'd see beautiful footage of Vermont, B-roll, they call it. I learned that as I was struggling for the term. Someone mercifully told me, it's called B-roll. And then you see the stars of the show, Bob Newhart and Mary Fran.
Peter Scolari.
Well, he was later. Originally, it was Stephen Campman. But I decided to go with... He only lasted one season, I believe. So I decided to go with the more recognizable names. Peter Scolari, Julia Duffy, Tom Poston. Well, they were the ones in the main credits.
What about...
William Sanderson, I don't believe he was in the main credits. He was a frequent guest star, but he was not a series regular. Nor were his brothers Daryl and his other brother Daryl.
That was my question, obviously.
Obviously.
So how did you read you hadn't gotten the part? I was told
immediately.
Immediately?
Yes. And I said, can I still do my Denny and the Deep Blue Sea?
And the answer was?
No.
Oh.
But my parking was validated, and I was given a free bottle of water. So all in all, not a bad day.
It's interesting, when you park on the land, you need to get validated. But when you park on the sea, you're a hero.
I understand what you're trying to do.
I appreciate that.
But we call it landing, not parking.
But why didn't you call it seeing? Because you, when you're landing, you're on the land.
Because we call it a water landing, and it's very unlikely.
Not on that day.
On that day, it was 100% certain. But you understand that when you take a flight, usually they'll say, in the unlikely event of a water landing, we don't call it a seeing.
You know what I like is when you're watching the safety video.
Mm-hmm. Which I hope you do intently.
Of course.
Even if you're an experienced flyer.
And the masks are falling down from the little compartment above you.
They're dropping. They're not falling down.
Well,
it's on purpose.
Gravity takes us all.
Too true, Scott.
So they're dropping down. And I assume this would be a very tense situation in the plane.
It is.
But in every safety video, everyone has to act like it's the most natural, fun thing to ever happen.
That's to put everyone at ease. What's funny is the most tense thing that can happen during any flight is not for the masks, the oxygen mask, to drop down. And a lot of people don't realize this. The most tense moment of any flight is when the instruction on the seatbelts is given and the phrase, low and tight across your lap, is uttered. It is unconsciously sexual, and everyone feels it. And there is a moment there where we decide whether or not we're going to continue with society or whether we will engage in a Caligula-like orgy on the plane. In all my experience, people have erred on the side of good.
Never happened then, the Caligula style.
I've heard tell of it happening, but that might just be flight school hijinks.
So, wow, you gave it all up. And then Tom Hanks. I mean, look, he's a great actor. He's won the Academy Award twice.
A terrific actor, two-time Academy Award winner, as you say.
Has he been ever nominated again, or were people like, what the hell were we doing?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Why would they be? You just conceded that he is a very good actor. I don't know why the Academy would suddenly say, what the hell were we doing?
Don't you agree, though? I think it should be one and done when it comes to those
kind
of things.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
Give some other people chances, because,
right.
You know what I mean? If everyone knew that Tom Hanks would never win another award, he would never get cast in anything, and maybe you could have been cast in that part.
That's right. That's also why I've never landed another plane on the Hudson. Give somebody else a try.
That day. Let's talk about that day.
That fateful day.
That fateful day with all those souls on that plane.
Hey, thanks for bringing it up. I never really get to talk about it. I'm surprised more people haven't been interested.
Really? So you go over to parties?
I go over to parties constantly.
How many parties a guy like you go to?
I go to 4 parties a week.
Always?
I get invited to 7.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Who's having these Monday parties?
Some very carefree people that I know. Mm. They have a standing Monday party, rotating guest list. I am the only person who's been invited to every single Monday, and I go to every other one.
So you go to parties and people are just like, hey, Sully, and this never comes up with anyone.
I think it's like, being a very beautiful woman where you assume you don't have a shot. And people think, oh, he doesn't want to talk about that. And they're right. I don't.
Oh, you don't want to talk about it? Well, I was watching that movie when it came out. I thought it was so interesting because the actual event only took place over the course of 17 minutes or so.
Yes.
But it's a two-hour movie.
That's right.
And obviously, the first hour was boarding and pre-boarding.
Yes. Calling the various groups.
Yep.
Some people, they have too many things. They have to check one.
There was all the confusion of, you know, wait, I'm B-58. Oh, wait, no, I'm standing in A-58.
That's Southwest Airlines.
Oh, this wasn't Southwest?
This was United Airlines.
This was United?
Yes. We don't have that system.
I beg your apologies.
Granted.
So, but how did they fill up the rest of the film? I'm not really remembering. Was there like a trial afterwards of like, hey, Sully, why did you do that?
There was a trial. People thought I was hot dogging. Some people thought I was trying to impress a girl.
Was there a girl out there on the Hudson who...
There was not. I mean, obviously, when you're a pilot, you do hear a lot of tales of sirens who will lure planes to the sea. It's really any craft... any large craft can be distracted by sirens. And you would think being high up in the sky, you wouldn't even hear the siren song, but it is supernatural in nature. So, of course, it's a danger to all pilots and co-pilots, for that matter. Not navigators, interestingly enough, nor the rest of the flight crew.
So you're saying that's not what happened?
That is not what happened. But there was a, you know, there's a moment during the trial scene where the character of Sully, not played by me, the judge, the aviation judge says, Mr. Sullivan, and he's Mr. Sullivan, and I the character corrects him, Sullenberger. Mr. Sullenberger, what exactly did you think you were doing up there? It's a very, I wish I could do voices, but you have to trust me that he sounded very angry.
Right, yeah.
Do you want to give it a try?
Yeah, I'll try it, yeah. Mr. Sullivan.
Sullenberger.
Mr. Sullenberger. What did you think you were doing up there?
That's very good.
Thank you so much.
And then the character of Sully closes his eyes, and he imagines all sorts of scenarios that take place in the blink of an eye.
Like a Last Temptation of Christ kind of thing?
Or? It's precisely right, yes. In one of them, he is doing loop-to-loops just for fun. In one of them, he clambers onto the outside of the plane, converts it into a submarine. In one of them, he drops a tab of LSD and just freaks out. A siren scenario was depicted, and in one, he does have sex with Mary Magdalene in the cockpit.
Cuts to her pregnant in another plane.
I thought that was a questionable choice. I don't know why. Are they implying the plane traveled through time? I didn't understand that.
Right. Weird movie.
It's a very weird movie. Dads love it.
Yeah. You go over for Father's Day, it's a sure bet someone's going to say, hey, let's turn on Sully.
Thanksgiving. I mean, Tom Hanks really is doing a service to the dads of America. Bridge of Spies, Sully. I mean, he's really churning them out.
Making movies for topics they care about.
That's right. He loves World War II and space.
Wait a minute. This is a good idea. World War II in space.
Scott, how would that happen?
I mean, you'd have to have World War I in space first.
Why? Do you think in World War II they retraced their steps from World War I? Fought in all the exact same places.
Wouldn't that be cool, though, if, like, Nazis had, like, spaceships?
Would that be cool? Very curious phrase. Wouldn't it be cool if Nazis had spaceships? Has this show changed since the last time I was here? As a boy, are you feeling a bunch of pride lately?
I just think it would be cool if, like, you know, we don't really know where Hitler went to.
We do. He went into the ground.
Be funny if he, like, came back, like, the big rocket ship.
It would
just
be funny.
Blasting away at people.
This, Scott, I'm concerned for you. It would be funny if Hitler came back on a rocket ship blasting away at people. I beg of you to reconsider the thoughts that you're having. Think of the words that you're saying.
It's an interesting visual.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of your mouth?
You have such an interesting, even-tempered voice.
Thank you.
You mentioned you sang, "Oh, What a Beautiful Morning."
Yes.
Can you sing, really?
I can carry a tune, I suppose. I wouldn't call myself a Luciano Pavarotti.
Here, let me give you a song.
Sure.
Safe Flight Repair. Safe Flight Replace.
All right. Safe Flight Repair. Safe Flight Replace.
Pretty good.
I mean, I've seen that commercial 1,000 times. That's a real earworm for me.
So,
what am I doing here in Austin?
Yeah.
Yes. Scott, I'm glad you prompted me to ask you to ask me. I'm getting into the restaurant business.
The devil, you say?
It's true.
Restaurateur.
Hopefully. We'll see.
Chesley Sully Sullenberger. Yes, chef. Yes.
Yes, chef.
Yes, chess.
Yes, chess. No. No, Scott.
What kind of restaurant would obviously would be aviation themed, I hope.
Yes, the restaurant itself would be shaped like a jumbo jet. You get on there and, you know, someone greets you. They're wearing an aviation uniform. And they say, show me your ticket.
Well, that until the ket part, I was like...
You were like, what?
Just didn't know how that was going to go.
It's a very brief window of time in which you could have that thought. It's almost like something out of the movie Sully.
Yes.
Chef. And so you mime showing them a ticket.
Oh, you have to mime it. You don't get a ticket when you come in.
No, that just seemed wasteful. It's a restaurant.
Do people's mime skills have to be, like, at a certain level?
Rudimentary, I would suppose.
Okay.
Basic.
Like, but you can't just, like, go like this. You have to be using your thumb and...
You have to pretend you're holding something, yes.
Right, yeah. So basic mime skill.
The gesture that you indicated is very hard to describe. It's just holding your splayed hand out and right. Waving it in a circle. Yeah, that's not miming.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
You won't just take anyone.
I guess you have to... Your mime skill level depends on, do you know what miming is?
If someone were to do this, you would turn them away.
With extreme prejudice.
Okay. So they come in. They've shown this person the ticket.
Yes. Then someone dressed as what do they call them these days? It was a stewardess when I first started working as a pilot. And then it became flight attendant. Yes, sorry. So the flight attendant will show them to their table, which, of course, is two airline seats on the plane side by side. And the flight attendant will flip the trays down for them.
From the chairs in front of them?
Or yes, exactly.
There are chairs
in front of them. Yes, from the chairs in front of them. We thought about doing first class seats, but we thought that's going to take up too much room and unnecessarily divide the diners, so they're all coach seats.
How many seats does the restaurant have?
Well, it's a jumbo, so it has two tiers.
Really?
Yes, and we can fit, I almost said comfortably, but we could fit 250 people.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a big restaurant.
It's a big restaurant. Well, I mean, there are restaurants that size, aren't there? That can fit 250 people.
Well, if you look at a four top, that's four people, right?
Correct.
It's like 60 tables?
60 times four is 240.
Yeah. 62 tables and a half.
A one top? A two top.
Two top. I guess there are restaurants that big. I mean, in your, you know, plaza hotels
right.
and the like.
Yes.
So you're expecting a lot of business.
Well, yes, because when they hear, they can always get a reservation. Walk-ins are welcome, naturally. You still have to mind the ticket, though.
Right.
And then the cuisine served will be, of course, airline food, which, for my money, is the best cuisine in the world.
Do you guys get airline? I know you're not a pilot anymore, but when you were...
I do have it delivered, though.
From the... Does the airplane land in front of your house?
It's, it's Uber Eats Sky. And a little gyrocopter will... a guy in a gyrocopter will bring you food from the airplane.
Gyrocopters are cute, aren't they?
They're adorable. They're the most precious of the airworthy vehicles.
They're so fun. They're like two big bug eyes.
Yes.
And like a big bug tail. I mean, they look like a bug.
They look like bugs.
Yeah.
And of course, they couldn't be more lethal. If you fly in one for long enough, you are certain to die.
Where do people top out?
They're the motorcycles of the sky.
But they're so cute. Motorcycles are not cute like the gyro.
No, motorcycles are threatening, as are most land conveyances. As you know, I don't care for them. Cars, buses, trucks, jeeps.
You know, we talked to your brother on the show a while back.
I don't have a brother.
Maybe he was from an alternate dimension. Bergie?
Another dimension?
Another dimension?
Another dimension.
Another dimension. Never mind. So, airline food.
And served in airline portions. And, of course, the flight attendant, when the people are settled in their seat, the flight attendant will ask them, have you dined with us before? We do things a little differently here. You order off the menu and we bring you that thing.
Right. Every other place is doing tapas these days.
Yes.
Small plates.
Small plates.
I get it.
Great for sharing.
Great for sharing.
I'd recommend
bad
you
for the bill.
Eat five of these and four of these.
Yeah. And they all cost the exact same thing as like when you go into a regular place.
The thing about tapas that really bothers me is it forces you to be in the position of a weak and helpless child asking, will this be enough? Will this be enough? And then the server is forced in a position of mommy saying, if you're hungry, we can give you more. It's very infantilizing, and you're not going to get that at my restaurant.
Are there seats near the exits?
There are seats near the exits, yes, always.
Do you need a verbal yes that...
Yes, we go through that whole thing. But the question is a little different. The flight attendant will ask, if you sit in the seat, do you agree to have a great time tonight?
Does anyone ever say no?
They do, but then the server says, come on, just play along.
So can I ask... What is this place called?
Sully's Crash Pad. Now, I know what you're thinking.
This, you know what I'm thinking?
I debated using the word crash.
Because that's not a word that I associate with Sully Sullenberger.
No, and it's certainly not a word you want to associate with any pilot. But any landing that you can walk away from is a good landing. And... the plane is permanently grounded. It's not a real plane anyway, so
I felt... It's not.
It's constructed to look like a plane and also has a jet engine. And it could take off at any moment.
So it is airworthy.
It is airworthy, and there will be a flight crew in the cockpit of the restaurant. And if I give them this signal, they will begin taxiing and then take off. My dream is to have the restaurant situated on a very long strip of highway so that if they need to, they can take off.
Why would they need to take off?
Scott, there are some things I'm not sure that I'm privy to tell you. Did that sound right, that sentence?
No.
I'm not privy to tell you.
No, you're not allowed to.
I'm not at liberty to divulge.
Yeah, that's what we're at. Liberty, such a great word.
Agreed.
Do you know that song that has it in the... Liberty, liberty, liberty.
Oh, yeah, of course. I've seen that commercial a million times. Can't get it out of my head. Liberty, liberty, liberty.
What about the guy going, liberty, biberty?
I forgot about him. You know who I like is that emu from the Liberty Mutual commercial.
Although that other emu is trying to steal his thunder, the one that's always fucking with the camera. And
Emmanuel. Yep. But you know, I read recently there's another emu that saved someone's life. This is someone's Instagram story. I don't recall all the details, and I rather wish I hadn't brought it up. I can do some further research on that after my segment has concluded, so I can update you all on this heroic flightless bird. Obviously, flightless birds are my favorite because they will not interfere with the jet engines.
Is it only because, obviously, famously, the one that got into your...
Infamously,
I beg your pardon, was the goose.
The goose.
The goose was loose.
The goose was loose end into many, many pieces. The goose's structural integrity had completely broken down, courtesy of a jet engine, which it should have known better than to fly into. Unless, of course, it had a thirst for human death. But that goose was thwarted that day.
Is it any small consolation that at least the goose is dead?
Of course it is. But only the smallest of consolations, because so many geese yet roam the earth. But with my restaurant, I aim to take that number down by a few. We are going to be the first exclusive goose restaurant. We will serve nothing but goose dishes. Goose every which way you can imagine.
And whose responsibility is it to catch these geese? That's not something you can just go to the market and buy.
Well, actually, you can go to the market and buy a goose, but that's not enough for me. And I do have a cadre of specialists. This is their one mission, and it's also their one joy in life, is to destroy geese, to bring them down and to bring them to me so that I may cook them and serve them at my restaurant.
Are they killing the geese before they get to you, or are they bringing them alive? Are you like dead or alive, whatever?
Dead or alive, yes. If they do bring a live goose, I will kill it. We will go into the octagon. It'll just be me and the goose. I will strip to the waist. The goose has a fair chance. But what I like to say is we're fighting on my terms now.
Couldn't the goose just fly away, or?
Not in the octagon, no. There's a roof on it.
You have a roof on your octagon?
Of course, for just such an occasion.
It's nice.
It's a pretty nice octagon.
Where'd you get it? Do you mind me asking?
You know, it was a prefab. It's one of those kits.
Yeah.
But the roof was my idea. Have you ever had goose chili?
I can't say that I have.
Come to Sully's Crash Pad. Have you ever had a PB&G?
Wow, what a menu.
Basically, it's any food you can think of, but with goose.
Yeah. Well, this is exciting. And when's the opening?
The opening, hopefully, will be next month. I just need investors.
It seems a little like the timetable is a little too compressed.
I don't think so, because once I get the investors, which should be the easiest part, then I will build the plane, hire the staff, round up all the geese.
Have you hired the staff of the Goose Killers?
Oh, yes.
That team is still working.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Are they on your dime at this point?
Yes, they are, and happily so. It is my great pleasure to know that there are geese being slaughtered.
This time it's personal.
It never wasn't, Scott.
Well, good luck to you, Sully. I mean, I don't know that I can invest. Maybe someone in this crowd is willing to invest. I mean, yeah.
It sounds like four people are willing to invest.
Yeah, how?
I'm well on my way.
How much money do you need for this functional airplane?
$500 million.
Sully Sullenberger, everyone. Sully Sullenberger.
Yeah, I'll go over here.
Stay right where you are, Sully.
I will.
Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, what if I just said, tough luck, and then ended it? No, I actually have the perfect gift, and I stand by this one 100%. I've talked about it. Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. How many photos do you think you've taken in your life? Four? More? Well, it's unlimited how many photos you can share on this thing. And I believe me, I've tested it out. It is super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving Aura as a gift, you can personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. And that's what I did. I gave these to all of my loved ones. And we put photos of our new baby into the frame, and they love it. My mom would rather watch the Aura frame than TV. She just sits there like watching the new photos come up. She loves it. I love them. I think it's one of the greatest inventions to ever be invented. Thank goodness whoever did it, I couldn't. Mr. Aura, if you're out there, we love you. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is A-U-R-A Frames, AuraFrames.com. Use code BANGBANG at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace, you know what it is. It's the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it is easy to create a beautiful website to engage with your audience all on your terms. And let me tell you something. You do not want to miss Fluid Engine. Oh, Fluid Engine is here. A next-generation website design system from Squarespace. You start with a best-in-class website template, and then customize every design detail with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. And with the new asset library, you're able to manage all your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform. So head to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you are ready to launch, of course, go to squarespace.com/bangbang. to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Hey, listeners, Scott Aukerman here of Comedy Bang Bang. I wanted to take 1 minute, 60 seconds at most, to talk to you about a podcast that you might like, Sound Opinions. Sound Opinions is a podcast hosted by two longtime music critics, Jim DeRogatis and Greg Kot. On the show, they talk to high-profile musicians and industry professionals, authors, filmmakers, and up-and-coming artists that you should know about. Sound Opinion's previous guests include a wide array of artists and bands, including Boy Genius, Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin, Mary J. Blige, Superchunk, many, many more. The hosts also review new music and look back on classic albums of the past. Check out new episodes of Sound Opinions every Friday and bonus episodes every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Very exciting to have our next guest here. How do you feel about music and musicians in general?
Can I answer as well?
Yes, please answer.
Love it.
Well, our next guest is a hip-hop pioneer.
Is it Cal Solomon? Founding member of the Sugar Hill Gang?
You know about Cal Solomon?
He's one of my favorites.
You like Cal Solomon?
I do.
It is unfortunately not him.
All right.
He's one of the original hip-hoppers with that real hip-hop. Please welcome to the stage, MC Sugar Butts! Said, get on up and get on down. Sugar Butt is in your town. Now you are you, and me is me. Hello, everybody. Sully and Scotty D. We in Austin T.
MC Sugarbutt, great to see you.
There's a piece of wood on the stage.
You want to get rid of it? What do you want to do?
I'm going to throw it in the audience.
Oh, no, please don't.
Hopefully it hits somebody in the eye.
Nice arm.
I played a little baseball in the 80s. When I eat my country fried steak, I like it with gravy.
MC Sugarbutt, just to let everyone know who is unfamiliar with you, your story.
Who is that? Who is that? Stand up, don't shit, chat.
I don't think we need you to stand up if you don't know who MC Sugarbutt is, but or shit or chat.
Shit, chat, shally whap.
Some of the time you do about half and then you just quit.
Well, if they don't know me, why should I finish?
No, that's a good point.
Shit, shack, shally, whap. Oh, my head is a baseball cap.
Gentlemen, so sorry to interrupt. Let me know when you're ready to hear the emu story.
Liberty, 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 liberty. Bibbity, bibbity, bibbity. Rah.
What do you say, MC Sugarbutt? Are you ready to hear the Zemu story, or do we need to get your backstory out?
Well, my best friend Kruger's name is Freddy. About this emu story, I am ready.
Dateline, London. England has two new unexpected celebrities, a 42-year-old chef and a massive emu, who inadvertently teamed up to help catch a driver who fled a crash scene after narrowly missing pedestrians and causing extensive damage. Dean Wade said he heard a loud screeching noise near his workplace in Wiltshire, southwest England, on Monday and raced out to see a Jeep careening before smashing into the front of an empty shop. In an interview with the Washington Post on Wednesday, Wade, who has been working at the Old Bell Hotel in Malmesbury for only 2 weeks, said he could see the driver, who appeared drunk, was getting ready to back away from the scene. A female passenger had left the vehicle. There's no way you're going anywhere, Wade told the man, who he said was swaying and staggering all over the place. He said the man was determined to escape, heading off on foot, though unable to run fast due to his physical state. Wearing his slip-resistant rubber kitchen clogs and chef's overalls, Wade chased the driver for 15 to 20 minutes, through bushes, allotments, and gardens before the pair ended up at an animal sanctuary. This was when the real confrontation began. I could see this massive emu, Wade said. I'm 6 foot tall, and it was bigger than me. Wade said he could tell the bird, which was surrounded by its offspring, was likely to spring into defense if anyone intruded on its enclosure. Mate, don't go in there, Wade warned the man, who he said ignored his advice, replying, I can fight crime. Sorry, I don't have my spectacles on. I can fight emus. An even crazier thing to say. Before heading into the animal's pen, where he was repeatedly pecked. It was stabbing his body all over, Wade said, causing the man to curse and unsuccessfully attempt to kung fu kick the animal away. The bird kept stabbing at the driver, who eventually gave up, fled the pen, and headed toward a river, while Wade took the opportunity to flag down a nearby police car. There, the emu exits the story, and it stops being interesting to me. But I will say, one final note, is that the picture they use in the article is not the exact emu, but just a stock photo of an emu, and they note that underneath the picture.
Wow.
That chef should have cooked that bird. Rah.
What do you think of that? I mean, and pretty crazy, huh?
Well, the man said he wasn't running that fast, but then he chased him for 20 minutes?
I know.
He had to have been going at a reasonable speed. Yeah.
Remember, he was in his rubber chef's clogs.
Rubber chef clogs, bullfrog. Woof, 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 I'm a dog. Rah.
MC Sugarbutt, this is what I wanted to bring up.
What is that?
For people who don't know MC Sugarbutt.
Who? Stand up right now, shit your pants. Do a little dance. A shitty dance. Ah.
You were one of the original people who started doing hip-hop back in the early 80s.
That is correct.
And then something happened.
Huh? What?
Well, you know your story better than anyone, better than me perhaps, but you fell into a coma.
Well, let me tell you about me, Scotty D. I fell into a coma in 83.
And you just woke up a few years ago.
It's been a few years now, Scott. Yeah. Pretty much used to things at this point.
So all the new styles of hip-hop you've grown accustomed to, you've listened to them.
But I refuse to relate to those little kids.
Now, what do you think? I mean, it must be such a shock to the system to hear, like, you know, hip-hop the way you used to do it, and now people are like...
The real way.
Yeah.
Each and every fucking day.
Oh.
I did adopt profanity.
But now people are out there going like brrrt and stuff behind everyone.
Do it again. Or do it again. Please, Scotty, do it again. Thank you, Scotty D, for doing that for me.
Wait, what was the accident that got you into that coma?
Well, I was at an evangelical event, and I caught the Holy Ghost and fell and hit my head. That was it.
That's right. Could have been so many things, though. I mean, your mind...
Could have been so many things. My mind is a pot of stew. Carrots and potatoes and roast, too.
See,
beef broth. Eli Roth.
Eli Roth.
That's my favorite dude that does what he does.
Out of every dude that does what he does, he's the best at it.
He's an actor, correct?
No, sometimes.
What else does he do?
He's a director.
Oh, what did he do?
Hostel, right?
No? I've seen that film.
Someone
really
said no.
Gross.
Is that not right?
He did direct Hostel.
It is right. He did direct Hostel.
He did direct Hostel, so shut your ass up. I saw that movie. It was really gross. I like hot butter on my breakfast toast. Yeah. Hot butter jelly and jam too.
So MC So you woke up, you know, needless to say, you woke up, the whole world was different. There were new inventions. There had to be new inventions, like the Roomba.
The Roomba. From the Roomba to the Tumba. My new job is to clean up graves at a graveyard with a Roomba. From the Roomba to the Tumba is the company name.
That's your new job.
Hire me for all your grave cleaning needs.
MC Sugarbutt. Yeah, we might have the same question,
sure. Scott.
What's the messiest grave you've ever seen?
The messiest grave? I'm so glad you asked, Sully Sullenberger. The messiest grave I've ever seen was right here in Austin Teen. Full of shit.
Someone just took a big dump on a grave?
When you die, sometimes you relieve your bowels. Stay in a hotel with really soft towels.
That seems like a very fast turnaround from death to grave.
Got him in there.
Shit lives forever. But the Roomba got it up. It got it up. End of rhyme. Do you need me to say that, Scott? Over.
Well, you say end of rhyme, nothing rhymed with up.
Up, cup, shup, whoop, up, whoop, whoop.
Are you all right, MC Sugarbutt?
I'm about to throw up.
So this is an exciting new business opportunity for you.
New business opportunity that I need you to invest. Oh,
a lot of people wanting investments.
Sully Sullenberger is wearing a vest. Yeah.
How much do you... I thought this business was already going. You've cleaned up one grave at this point?
Well, here's how it works, Scotty D. I bring you on, and you bring three. And then they bring three, and 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 they bring three. Come on, Sully Sullenberger, dance with me. They bring three, they bring three, they bring three. A day bring three, a day bring three, a day bring three, and they bring three, and they bring three.
So it's a pyramid scheme.
What? I do clean pyramids.
Oh, which really? Are graves.
From the Roomba to the Tumba.
What's the biggest pyramid you've ever cleaned?
And also what's the smallest? Yep.
The biggest was in Miami. The smallest was in Egypt.
That must have been a big Miami pyramid.
Huge.
Was this recent pyramid news?
People don't know about it. I had to clean it up before they screamed and shouted it.
Wow, okay. So this is a good business. I mean, you own this.
Great
this
business. Great business. I own it. Then you own it.
Are you sad you're not a rapper anymore? I mean, this seems like your first love.
Rapping was the first thing I had ever done in my life.
Oh my God, he's went into a reverie.
It was all I knew how to do.
He's having a flashback.
Oh, get on up and get on down. Sully Sullenberger crashed the plane into the ground.
That's not true. MC Sugar Bud.
Oh, excuse me. He crashed the plane into the sea.
Closer. You seem to have gone into, as Scott said, a reverie, and your voice completely changed, and it seemed that that was not a place you wanted to stay in. Is that correct?
Impossible. Impossible.
So, was rap your first love?
Rap was the first thing that I ever had learned to do. From the moment I could speak, I could rhyme like Dr. Seuss. Sully Sullenberger, you make me shake and you make me quiver. You crash the plane into a river.
There we go.
This is factually incorrect.
It is?
It wasn't a crash, it was a water landing.
Oh.
Which are highly unlikely.
Sully Sullenberger, that makes you the best. In my company, would you like to invest?
I'm looking to get some capital myself, so I cannot help you at this time, MC Sugarbutt.
Maybe you guys could team up, though, with this business. I mean, maybe...
Many customers are bound to die from goose poisoning. They will have gravestones that...
Goose poison
that will be defaced.
You know what gooses like to shit?
Graves.
Well, I wish you would put out an album or something. I mean, hip-hop seems to be what you care about most. I mean, I feel bad for you that you're... I mean, you're an older gentleman now.
Excuse me, Scotty D. I am only 33.
You gotta add the coma years.
Nope, I don't.
You're in your 70s, obviously.
I beg to differ. I beg to differ. The dead bodies get stiffer. Swift. Yeah.
You must have been so excited when you saw the Swiffer as a new invention.
Because I could rhyme with differ.
Yep.
And I use that word all the time.
Finally.
Finally, something to rhyme with a word that was unrhymable before 1997. When I wasn't around. I Googled it.
Oh, and Google. I mean, that's a huge thing. I mean, when you were still around.
Encyclopedia Britannica. My favorite driver is Danica. Patrick.
Patrick.
Hockey.
See, you're so good at this. I feel bad that you're... I feel bad you're doing this, business that's obviously going to fail.
Whoa, who? Me?
You, yeah.
Me?
Well, both of you.
Who, me?
I mean, you both have bad business ideas. I mean...
Who, us?
Who, us?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry to say. I mean, look, I didn't say it while we were talking, Sully, but I mean, this restaurant, it's hard enough to launch a restaurant. This one is just doomed to fail.
You definitely did not mention that during our conversation.
And you, I mean, cleaning up graves? How often are people shitting on graves that this is a necessary thing? I mean,
you'd be surprised, Scotty D. Every day I see a turd times three.
So four cleanup jobs a day?
For all the graves? Have you seen a cemetery? Mary and Barry?
Don't call me Mary and Barry.
Your favorite mayor of all time.
I mean, he was great.
It was good.
Yeah. So much crack.
Not enough if you ask me.
I thought it was just enough.
I just...
We have a real Goldilocks situation here.
For crack. I know I'm supposed to be sort of neutral sometimes, you know, as a host, but I just can't let you guys ruin your lives like this. I mean, you both have so much going for you. I mean, MC Sugarbutt, you're a great rapper, and Sully, you landed a plane once.
I will not dignify that with a response.
What about you? You gonna dignify?
You're real patronized, Scotty D. Leave me and Sully. Leave us be.
You want me to go?
B-U-S-I-N-E-S-S for the win. That was a rhyme. It spells business.
You seem surprised you rhymed.
I am sweating.
All right, MC Sugarbutt, everyone.
It's in my eyes. It's in my eyes.
Maybe we could get you a towel of some sort.
A towel? Give me that one.
That's his kerchief. You can't just...
Did you sneeze in it?
I did.
No, I'm kidding. I don't want that one.
Sugarbutt.
What?
Sugarbutt.
You put
sugarbutt into my brain.
It goes. Finish it. Pouring sugar. Oh.
Into my coffee, that's plain.
Leave the rhyming to me, Scotty D.
I'm so sorry.
Hey, listeners, Scott Aukerman here of Comedy Bang Bang. I wanted to take 1 minute, 60 seconds at most, to talk to you about a podcast that you might like, Sound Opinions. Sound Opinions is a podcast hosted by two longtime music critics, Jim DeRogatis and Greg Kot. On the show, they talk to high-profile musicians and industry professionals, authors, filmmakers, and up-and-coming artists that you should know about. Sound Opinions' previous guests include a wide array of artists and bands, including Boy Genius, Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin, Mary J. Blige, Superchunk, many, many more. The hosts also review new music and look back on classic albums of the past. Check out new episodes of Sound Opinions every Friday and bonus episodes every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we need to get to our next guest.
Oh!
You thought you were last?
I thought that was it.
You were going to go home?
I thought you were going to invest, and that was it?
No, I'm not going to invest. I'm so sorry.
Bullshit.
Sorry. You can't expect me to invest in something this stupid.
Why not? We're friends.
Are we?
We're not.
I don't think
the first I'm hearing of this.
You haven't been
this. Tisk.
All right. Let's get to our next guest. What do you say?
I say yay.
He's an actor. I mentioned he's an actor. He also is he's an educator. He teaches at Hamilton High. Please welcome to the show, Todd Padre is here. Todd Padre, everyone.
Finally! The Todd has come back.
to the Bang Bang for the first time. Oh.
Are you out of breath? What is it?
It is hot in Austin, Scott Aukerman.
Hell yeah, it is.
Hell yeah, it is. Sorry, I'm a little sweaty.
Little?
Yeah, I'm a lot sweaty, Scott Aukerman. It's hot out there. It's hot out in these streets.
You have the dampest hands I've ever encountered, and I escorted hundreds of people into a river.
And I clean piss from graves.
They expect you to clean the piss from them as well?
Everything has to be clean, Scott.
Which part do you clean the piss from? The gravestone or the dirt? Do you have to, like, wring it out of the dirt?
I gotta wring it out of the dirt. It makes the grass go bad. Really sad. Because the people are dead.
Are dead?
Did somebody boo? Fuck you.
I am so happy to be treading the boards here.
Yes, Mr. Padre, it's so great to meet you. You and I have never met. Yes,
We've never met, despite my incessant emails, booking emails, auditions for the show that I've sent in unsolicited.
Right. You're an actor?
I'm an actor, come theater teacher, come in pants sometimes. And
I thought it was... You bring up a good question, because I've always assumed it couldn't be pronounced cum. But is it cum? What?
Oh, like laude? Like in that sense?
What? Yes.
No, it's for people who the loudest ejaculator in every class gets a degree and gets to speak at the college graduation.
Magna.
Some people are magna cum laude, some are summa cum laude. I'm a lot of cum laude.
You're a teacher and an actor.
I'm a teacher. I'm an actor. I am the only living RASGOT recipient. I have a Razzie for television, film, theater, and music.
Wow.
Yep. Proud feminist.
What does that mean to you?
I'm nice to ladies. I carry tampons with me.
For what purpose?
Well, you know how you always kind of see a woman going to another woman sometimes and being like, hey, sorry, can you help me out here? As a male feminist, I say, they shouldn't have to just ask women. So if I come into a room, I'll say, ladies, I have a tampon also, if you need one. No questions asked. But, you know, some men just aren't thoughtful like that. You know, it costs money and stuff like that, and I'm fine to pay for it. And I'll just tell the woman, you know, I'm on Venmo or whatever, and...
How much do you charge?
Well, it's per box, which all four of us probably know how much a box of tampons costs.
Of course.
Of course we do.
Somewhere between $5 and $500?
Then, of course, split between we know how many come in a box. So you do that math and then...
38. Say it straight.
I thought it was cum in a box. So you and some other teachers at Hamilton High.
Yes, we have a podcast called The Teacher's Lounge, and right, we discuss. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys, I don't know what the audio quality of your mics is in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to put my mic up to the audience.
Yeah,
so
thanks,
everyone
thank
at home
you for
here
doing
could
that.
Hear
yeah.
how popular the show is.
Yeah. So you teach drama.
I teach drama. I live drama. I mean, life is drama, isn't it?
TNT.
I know drama, indeed. I got the movies also, but that's FX.
You have the deal with the movies?
What's that? No, I just got the movies.
You what?
You remember FX got
FX
the movies?
FX has the movies.
Okay.
But I'm here in Austin.
Arby's has the beef. They've got it. They've got the beef.
How do you feel about Ving Rhames doing those commercials? I have mixed emotions.
To whom are you speaking?
Is this a general question to the panel?
Yeah.
I know Sully has issues with Ving Rhames as far as your history together.
Yes.
He wanted you to throw the plane into the Hudson for a fee.
Yes. He was still in character as Don King and was trying to get me to throw the flight, as it were. I refused. I also advised him to change his name to something not so close to Wing.
Because those are sacred, or?
It was just an idle threat. He's a very big man.
Is he tall? I don't know.
He's wide. He's 4'10".
Not a lot known about Ving Rhames.
No, he remained shrouded in mystery.
He doesn't even have his Emmy anymore.
That's right. It was buried with Jack Lemmon.
Yep.
With how? Jack Lemmon?
You heard me.
Yeah, he famously gave it to Jack Lemmon.
Oh, and then they buried
it. Who was there
it
in the crowd,
him.
And then Jack Lemmon died immediately.
In the audience.
And then a seat filler, me, I do that sometimes, wasn't certain when Jack Lemmon was sitting dead in the audience, is this a seat I have to fill? So I dumped his body onto the ground.
And this is the only part you remembered from that night?
From which night? The seat filling situation?
I feel like you genuinely don't know.
Was it 9/11 also?
Pass.
You can pass on
this
show?
I'm using one of my passes.
All right, you only have 240 left.
Be careful.
That's how many tampons come in the box.
But I arrived in Austin today because... as a theater teacher, as a man who knows people, who knows the human condition, I've been doing a bit of a touring show. Now that the world is back open again. People,
and everything's safe.
Everything's
100%.
Safe. 100%. It's all good. I have monkeypox. So I don't have to worry about monkeypox. I have COVID. It's why I'm so sweaty. I have longest COVID.
I didn't know it was a competition.
Thankfully, Guinness awarded me longest COVID recently. but we're out here, you know, and it's hard. We were in our homes for 2 years. We didn't know how to talk to people once we were out here, you know? We didn't know how to... I'm going to sit back down. I don't have much more to say on that one.
Oh, yeah. That was a dramatic stand.
I just felt
really,
it.
Yeah,
I felt
no, I
it.
Mean, it really felt like something was going to happen.
It's incredibly hot out here, sorry.
What? You're carrying a roll of toilet paper in your back of your sweats?
Yeah, I'm really hot. He has a handkerchief. You didn't make fun of him.
Because that's classy.
Toilet paper's assy.
All right, I guess you got me.
But, you know, we're out here and we you
stop saying we're out here. What do you mean by that? I'm out here. He's out here. What do you? Tell us why you're here.
We're out here, Scott, and you know, you're expected to just be normal again. And through my theater training, I want to train people how to be out in the world again, you know, and to be comfortable. And so I'm doing a touring show called Act Normal. And it's all about these little moments we find in the post-COVID world, you know, and it's Tony Robbins meets Barack Obama's masterclass meets Tom Cruise and Magnolia's awesome speeches. It meets Abbott Costello, meets Frankenstein.
I have to ask, are those earlier things meeting the movie Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein, or they're meeting both Abbott and Costello and Frankenstein?
It's them meeting Abbott and Costello while they're meeting Frankenstein. Wow. And so it's the vibe of the show is like, oh, we've interrupted Abbott and Costello meeting Frankenstein. What's the social graces here, you know? I know Abbott a little bit, so I hug him. I barely met Frankenstein. Is that a fist pound? And it's just preparing people through all the things I know through theater.
Okay. Right.
Breath work, Feldenkrais, Alexander technique, Meisner, Stanislavski, Stan and Ollie.
So what can I would love to see a demonstration of these.
I'm so glad you asked, Scott. I really needed you to ask. Let's do an exercise. Yeah, two of you. I need two of you to sit across from each other. And this is
okay. Why don't Sugar Bud and Sully? Why don't you guys sit across from each other?
And this is you know, it's so hard to connect with people anymore, don't you think? It's so hard to connect with people anymore. Look someone in the eyes and really get to know them anymore, don't you think? When you're talking to somebody, it's hard to connect with them anymore. And just look them in the eyes and get to know them, don't you think so?
I do believe so, yes.
And so this exercise is all about connection. It's about eye contact. It's about comfort. And it's about finding yourself comfortable with somebody else that you barely know. You understand?
Yes.
Okay. So this is, I'm going to give you a line from one of my plays, and you're just going to repeat it back and forth to each other.
One of your plays?
Yes. I'm a playwright, Scott.
Okay. What's this one called?
This one is called Child Thief.
About?
A person who takes children.
Because it could have been a child who...
Thieves. A child who thieves?
As a verb, yes.
No, that's my play, Baby Back Robbers.
I want my Baby Back Robbers.
Why don't you lay down a baseline for us?
Excuse me?
Why don't you lay down a baseline for us?
Okay. This is perfect for this exercise, because this is a line from the play. So you're confronting the child thief. So you're saying, I want my baby back. And you're just repeating what you hear. Back and forth until the words give you new meaning. And it's about the connection, not the words. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. MCSB, are you ready?
Yes.
CSS, yes. Are you? Oh, yeah. All right. On my cue. And action.
I want my baby back.
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 Now, this is great so far. I don't want to interrupt you. It's great, but you're not doing it right and well. And it's awesome. It's lovely. I do this every day, so I'm obviously going to be perfect at it. You know, when I teach improv classes, I'll stop a scene and then I'll do it to show them how to do real improv.
A great strategy.
So you're saying the words, the same emotion behind them all the time. I want you to open up a little bit. This is why you didn't book that role, is you're giving me no emotion, no heart, you know? And I can say that because I'm the guy that the Liberty Bibbidi thing is based off of. That happened to me in a Liberty Mutual audition. I said the name of the company wrong 400 times.
And they used it.
And they used it, and they mocked me with a guy equally as good looking as me. So, same thing, a little more emotion, fellas, okay? Just feel the words. I want my baby back.
I want my baby back.
I want my baby back. Baby back. Baby back.
I want my baby back. Baby back. Baby back.
I want my baby back. Baby back. Baby back.
I want my baby back. Baby back. Baby back.
I want my baby back.
Chili's baby back ribs. Chili's baby back ribs.
Barbecue sauce.
Whoa! Wow.
That was powerful.
He gets it. He gets it.
Let's take a look at that menu. Let's see. We can exit full screen. We can go back. Can't go forward. All right.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That could have been real dicey there. Seeing those open tabs.
I'm glad they closed all my tabs. I was using it beforehand. Who is Scott Aukerman? What is Comedy Bang Bang?
And you spelled it with an H.
Which word?
Nobody saw that?
No.
I saw.
So that, what you just saw two men who have never met each other having a connection.
A connection
which
is made.
What? And a connection is mine. Wow.
You're crumb believable.
We're on a great wavelength here. Is this what you do with
this,
your...
This is it. In my class, I welcome everybody. If someone says something that reminds you of a song, say it out loud. If you know the lyrics, repeat after those lyrics. Get into the song together. And all of a sudden, you know each other a little more. And that's what's killing us in this country. We're dying out here, Scott Aukerman.
I don't know what your point is. Everyone was dying of COVID. Is that what you're saying?
No. You know, we're dying out here. I can't go to a movie and talk through the whole movie anymore. You know?
People can't understand what you're saying if you wear a mask.
I'm being so funny during a movie, you know? And nobody hears it because I'm forced to wear a mask. And I'm a Stubbs member. I'm in someone else's entourage that was paid for. So, you know.
Yeah.
I deserve to be treated properly when I go to the movies. I'm A-list. I wrote the Nicole Kidman thing.
Do people have AMC theaters out here? Do they know what we're talking about?
It's all Alamo Drafthouse this out here.
Right. They should play it at the Alamo Drafthouse.
It's iconic.
It is. I didn't know you wrote that. That's incredible.
Well, I wrote the original version for myself.
What was the original?
I'm sorry, this person is yelling something. It must be urgent because they just kept yelling it. What did you say? Okay.
What was the original version of this?
The AMC or the
Yeah,
Nicole
that's
Kidman?
What we're talking about.
Well, it was me. It was
you portraying the role.
Yes.
Of Nicole Kidman, or
yes. Hi, I'm Nicole Kidman. And I love movies, dude. And you love movies, dude. And here's the thing. People are so mad when they can't go see a movie in theaters. Tom Cruise, my husband sometimes before, he dresses up funny so he can see a movie in the theaters.
Is he dressing up funny? Just disguising himself, wearing like
if
a hat.
If Tom Cruise is disguising himself, that is a funny image, whatever he's wearing, right? He's using the MI technology.
He is?
Yes.
What technology?
MI, Mission Impossible.
Oh, he is? Oh, with the rubber mask?
Yes. The whole thing. He gets into a movie by climbing the building like he did in Dubai.
On the ropes?
Yes, scary. All his own stunts. Did you know that?
I do all my own stunts, too. Clean shit and piss out of graves.
You got to call for second team when that's happening. That's got to be somebody else. You shouldn't be doing that type of thing.
Would you like to join the team?
I mean, does it go on IMDb?
It could, I guess. IMDb is where all of the actors' resumes are.
Ooh.
We were talking backstage and Sugarbutt was like, I was watching so many movies at my hotel, I wish there was a way I could know who
Say
these people were.
Say it how I said it.
Let me tell you something that's not going too well. I can't figure out these actors in my hotel.
Beautiful.
And so I said, you know, you could just go to IMDb and look it up. And I told you that right before, and now we mentioned it again, and it's like you weren't listening to me at all.
Because I wasn't. I was not. Austin is really hot. Yeah.
But that's what, you know, now Sugarbutt's going to remember because he's done the exercise. I mean, what issues have you had post-COVID? You're out at a party, at a dinner party, at a party palace, a party city.
Well, there are some societal norms. Just the other day, I met someone and they reached their hand out to me. It was someone I'd never met before and would never see again in my lifetime. We both knew that. And he reached out his hand, and I looked at it, and I said, well, I'm not going to do that.
And did you not feel... I know that you, a man of the world, was adequately prepared to handle that moment. But some people, they're not used to all of those social interactions, and that's what my class teaches. We put you through acting technique, through all of those situations. I call them improvisations or skits. Okay. And we do situations that you might be scared of.
Okay, so like what? Should we do one right now?
Absolutely, Scott Aukerman. Okay, I need two people up here.
Why is it only two people?
Let's do three, yeah, let's do three. Okay, so...
And we're wandering around aimlessly, I take it?
Okay, so... This is nice, and just feel the space a little bit. Feel the space. Feel yourself. Now, if you're yourself here, be yourself. Okay, we lost Sully. He felt the space too much. We lost Scott, okay? You're feeling the space a little too much. Okay, yeah, feel the space here. Oh! Feel the space. Nice. And now, if you're in character, what body part does your character lead with? Let me see what you lead with, you know? Is it from your head? Are you a thinker and you walk with your head first? Is it from your heart, you know? Are you emotional? Is it your gut? You act on your gut. Is it your sex? What do you lead with? And yeah.
I'm just doing my feet.
It looks like we've got everybody
like
picking feet so far.
My feet are first.
Yeah, everybody's picking feet in different ways. Great. This is really special. This is really something. Yep. Okay.
I feel like I'm in The Lion King on Broadway.
Now, at some point, when you make eye contact with someone, greet that person, and we'll be in a situation. So this situation is one person wants the handshake, and just react however you would react in that moment. We'll talk about what happens, because I don't want to direct you too hard.
Eat your vegetables, drink your milk.
No.
No words being shared between Sully and MC Sugarbutt. A polite handshake and on with their... And of course, MC Sugarbutt inline skating while Sully does a bit of a march. And Scott Aukerman in the Ministry of Funny Walks, it appears. Oh, we're getting a hee-hee out of Scott. Now, Scott is shamming on as he walks across the stage. And Scott and Sully are face to face with each other, both. But Scott might be Michael Jackson. He might be a Michael Jackson impersonator. He might be Scott Aukerman, who just saw a Michael Jackson music video and is excited. Let's see what happens.
Would you like to shake my hand?
I wish I could, but I'm a filthy goose.
Shame on.
And scene. Wow.
What did that do for us?
Now that you have experienced something so far out as Michael Jackson meeting a dirty goose and being rejected by it.
What is there to be scared of?
What is there to be scared of?
Geese.
And that is something that was so beautiful that you did, Sully Sullenberger, is you...
Burger.
No, I'm full, thank you. You...
All right, that's our show, everyone! Carl Tart! Dan Lippert! Such a great crowd. We really love you.
Remember the first time you learned how to ride a bicycle? Just taking your feet off of the ground and putting them on those pedals. And oh no, nothing's holding you up except your own sense of balance. Oh gosh, the nostalgia for something like that. Well, you know what? You can experience it again this spring. Get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Lectric e-bike. That's right. They have an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, including mine, poor. It's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Go to electricebikes.com to discover e-bikes that start at just $799. With the XP Lite, anyone can ride with a variety of models designed to be a better mode of transportation. There's the zippy and affordable XP Lite, a great start to any e-bike journey. And we also have the Expedition. That's right, the letter X and then Pedition, a sturdy and versatile cargo e-bike that can hold up to 450 pounds. You know what? Electric e-bikes, they gave my good friend Paul F. Tompkins one of these things. He loves it. He's tootling around every day on it. Ring, ring. Hello, hello, everyone. It's improved his social life. He used to be a hermit. He used to be sort of a Scrooge-like miser character. And now he's out there on that electric e-bike saying hello to the entire community. And you can, too. Go full throttle into spring with Lectric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. Please, please, please mention the Comedy Bang Bang the podcast sent you in the post-checkout survey. That is Lectric, L-E-C-T-R-I-C, and then ebikes.com. That's how you get there. Okay, bye.